You're a man of destiny. Run with purpose in every step. Change has come upon you, for the greater one lives in you. For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit shall vitalize your mortal bodies. Somebody shout hallelujah. Life in the kingdom is beautiful. You are his workmanship. You were born to live the glory life. Now, that's the Christ life.
And now for the Word of God with Pastor Abel.
That God has a plan and a purpose for you in the month of May.
Hallelujah.
And that plan and purpose would be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for you this morning that you will receive the grace to carry you through this month, and that wherever you go in the course of this month, you will be a sign and a wonder to your generation. The hand of the Lord mightily rested upon your life will bring forth a fruitfulness out of your life, and your expectations will not be cut short. We give glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive your word for us this morning. Receive the anointing for this service this morning, and declare that everyone under the sound of my voice right now comes under the glow of your spirit, so that where there is a depression, where there is a depressive spirit, where there is a depressive atmosphere, it is rebuked right now, replaced with a lifting that only the Holy Spirit can establish in the life of a man. Bring forth your word with a clarity that can be understood, with an ability that cannot be resisted. Bring forth your word this morning to scare darkness and to scare the wicked one out of the lives of your people. And let your program for us and your destiny for us for this month, oh God, begin to be established, begin to receive an acceleration. Even in this service this morning, the doors are opening, the chains are breaking, the heavens are open. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Somebody say more confident, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Just a few days after the Savior was resurrected, the scripture says that he ascended into heaven. But before he ascended, the Bible records that he appeared to his disciples in many places. On the way to Emmaus, he appeared to Cleopas and the other disciple. He appeared in the room where the disciples were gathered. He came a second time when Thomas was present. And on this one occasion, the scripture says he took his disciples out to the mountain. And as he began to address them and to speak to them, he said to them, "Don't leave Jerusalem when I leave you." He said, "When I go away, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Go to the upper room in Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus acknowledged the fact that after his resurrection, that all hell was going to break loose. Jesus realized that after his resurrection, Satan and his system was going to come against the church in a very, very serious way. Jesus knew that it was not going to be an easy task for the church, for the Christians, for the believers to survive in the earth after his resurrection. He knew that his resurrection was a threat to the kingdom of darkness. I want you to understand that every time you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, you're reminding the devil of the last straw that broke the camel's back. And that really gets the devil angry, and that really grieves the devil. This is the reason why when you become a Christian, you don't live your life anyhow. Because the devil is not pleased. I've often said to you that when you become a Christian, you did not just join a church. You became a part of the body of Christ. What body of Christ? The body that resurrected from the grave. This resurrection is one reminder that the devil does not want to think about, does not want to have. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples at the breaking of the bread, when they had the communion, Jesus said to them, every time you break this bread, every time you undertake this activity, he says, you do show the Lord's death. That simply means that you remind the world, you remind Satan, you remind the kingdom of darkness of what happened when Jesus rose. The fact that he was crucified, the fact that he was buried, the fact that he died, that wasn't just it. The fact that in spite of all the devil did to silence him, he came out of the grave victorious. Now that is scary to the kingdom of darkness. Up till today, the devil does not understand what happened. Because they thought they had him where they wanted him. When they put him on the cross, they thought they had him where they wanted him. When they put him in the grave and they rolled a big stone and they put it there. But the scripture tells us that 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the grave triumphantly. Listen to me, church. I want you to understand that there is no Christianity without the resurrection. And you must get this clear in your mind. That while we celebrate the resurrection, the devil bites his finger, he shakes his head, he gets furious, he gets angry, and he thinks of how to silence the church. This is the reason why Jesus, at the point when he was going to leave, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, the scripture says he took his disciples up to the mountain, and he said to them, hey, guys, you need to understand that when I leave you, it's not going to be bread and butter. The devil is going to come after you. Things are going to get tough. The whole hell is going to break loose on you. But he said to them, he said, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you as orphans in the earth. I'm going to ensure that you are empowered. So he said to them, you will receive what? Power. Everybody say power. You see, Christianity without power is a social club. Christianity that does not emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit is just a story, is just history, is just an academic experience that cannot take people nowhere. When Satan comes against you, if you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you're going to end up a victim. It's so important that you understand the need to celebrate the power of God in our lives and to ensure that that power is sustained and retained. The scripture says, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Everybody say power. That simply means when you claim that the Holy Ghost is at work in your life. Now, when I walked into the church this morning, I heard us singing a song, dancing in the Holy Ghost. It's okay to dance in the Holy Ghost as long as the power is really there. Because if the power is not there, you can have fun in church and go to have fear outside the church. You can have fun in church and go have frustration outside the church. It's so important that you make sure that the power is there. The power of the Holy Ghost is necessary. It is your responsibility. It is your duty as a Christian to ensure that you do not just have the talking Holy Ghost, you also have the power Holy Ghost. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Kempton Park West. That's us. The uttermost parts of the earth. Said, you shall receive power. Everybody's a power. You see, if you got the Holy Ghost and you don't have power, something is missing. Something is missing. So he said, you shall be my witnesses. What are we supposed to witness? We are supposed to witness to his resurrection. We're supposed to witness to the fact that he's alive. He's not dead. We're supposed to witness to the fact that he's still at work on earth today. He's still at work in his church. We ought to witness to the fact that Jesus is not dead. I told you the other day that when Jesus died and resurrected, that on the day he resurrected, the scripture says an angel came from heaven. And when this angel descended from heaven, he rolled away the stone. And after rolling away the stone, the scripture says the soldiers ran away. At first they lay as dead, but then when they got up and discovered that the body was gone and the stone had been rolled, the grave was empty, the scripture says the soldiers ran away, and they ran and they went to the high priest and they reported. And when they reported to the high priest, now time will fail me to read passages of scriptures for you, but I did speak about that a few days back during the Easter season. The scripture says when they got to the high priest said to them, nobody must get to know this story. Nobody must get to hear that he rose. And the Bible says they took large sums of money and they bribed the soldiers and they said, you must keep your mouth shut. Now, I want you to understand that while the devil and his system and the corruption that is in the world wants to make sure that our lips are closed, that the story is not told of his resurrection, Jesus says the reverse must be the case. He says, I want to endue you with power because I want you to tell the whole world. I want everybody to hear that I'm alive, that I'm not just alive, but I want to give them life. I want to work in them. I want to transfer my ability into them. I want to give them the fulfillment of the purpose for which I came into the world. So he said, you will be my witnesses, witnesses of his resurrection, witnesses of his power. Listen carefully to me, church. I will repeat for the umpteenth time in the past few days. I'm going to repeat again today. The greatest honor that any Christian can do to Jesus, that any Christian can do to God, is not to go around and claim you're a Christian. No. The greatest honor you can do to the Lord is not to be a nice, good person. No. The greatest honor you can do to the Lord is for you to live a resurrected life. When you begin to live a resurrected life, I'm speaking about a transformed life. I'm speaking about the life that you can look back and say, that's who I used to be, but see who I am now. See what the power of the resurrection has done in my life. See what the power of the resurrection has done to my relationship, has done to my family, has done to my children. I used to be there, but see where I am now. That's the greatest honor you can do to Jesus. That's the greatest witness we can do to the one who rose from the dead. I'll read you a few scriptures before I bring my discussion with you to a close this morning. This is our very first service in the month. This is an anointing service, and I want to pray for you. I'm in the service this morning because I want to pray for you. And I'm trusting God because the Lord said to us by his Spirit that this month is our month of witnessing. This is our month when we will manifest much more than ever before the power of his resurrection. Because that's what we've been called to witness. We've not been called to witness a church. We've not been called to witness a new religion. We've not been called to witness, you know, a system. That's not what we've been called to witness. We've been called to witness the resurrection. That in the community where you live, you can look around you, or people can look at you and say, we used to know her. We used to know where she used to be. What really happened? And you can say to them, the power of God, the power of his resurrection. Remember, Paul wrote to the Romans. He said to them, if the spirit that brought Jesus from the grave, if that spirit dwells in you, he says that same spirit will revitalize your mortal bodies. That simply means on a physical note, that power can bring a transformation. It can bring a transformation to your life. Look at 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of a man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Everybody say power. Say Spirit. Say demonstration. Yeah, that's good. In the life of every Christian, there ought to be a certain demonstration. Not a demonstration of anger. Not a demonstration of negative attitudes like we see in the house of God today. Not a demonstration of jealousy. Not a demonstration of the flesh like we see in so many places today. It is unfortunate that Christianity has come to a stage where we are no longer different from the world. There is a need for a certain demonstration, a demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of power. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and by the Spirit of God, he writes to all of us. He says, "When I came to you, my speech and my preaching," I'm so excited about the words of this passage of scripture. He says, "My speech and my preaching." So he separates the ministration of the word of God from his personal interactions with the people. He says, "My speech and my preaching." That means when I spoke to you in the marketplace, when I talked to you about family stuff, when I spoke to you about business, when I talked transactions of money, when I spoke trade to you, when I spoke technology, when I discussed science, when I spoke law, when I spoke poetry, when I discussed literature, when I discussed arts and sciences, in all that I discussed, that is one side. And in all that I preached, that was one side. It says, in the both circumstances, it was in a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. What does this tell us? It simply says to you that when you are born again and the Spirit of God is at work in you, there should be a demonstration of the Spirit, not just when you are in the church, but even in the marketplace, so that no matter what you do, you are a witness for Christ. People can look at your business and be able to say, there is power behind this business. He said, "My speech and my preaching, the both of them." I came to say to you, church, this morning, that in the course of this month, you're going to be so empowered by the Holy Ghost. You're going to be so empowered by the Holy Ghost. If you are a student, you're going to be so empowered by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do, but wherever you go, there is going to be a demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. Why? Look at Colossians quickly, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I was going to read you three passages of scripture. I've read one. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 quickly, verse number 13. I want you to understand, Jesus recognized that he did in promising the people the power. When he said, "Wait until the Holy Ghost has come upon you, because you will get power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He knew that there is darkness out there. He knew that there are issues out there waiting. He said, "Who had delivered us?" That statement is not complete. Start from verse 12. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father," hallelujah, "giving thanks unto the Father which had made us qualified." The word "meet" there means qualified. "Which had made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hey, English is a little bit challenging here. Can I have it in a softer English? New Living Translation, something? Good. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled us, enabled you to share. Everybody say, I'm sharing. Say, I'm sharing. I'm partaking in the inheritance. Yeah, yeah. He says he has enabled you. To enable means you've been empowered. To enable means it's much more than saying gave to you. He's actually saying you've been empowered. You've been ordained. He's empowered you. He says he's enabled you. He's given you the ability. He's given you the ability. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. So God's people have an inheritance. Come on, somebody. God's people have an inheritance. It's either that God is lying or God's people are yet to inherit, discover what rightly belongs to them. No wonder he said, no wonder. Now I realize why he said in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 verse 32, where he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to deliver to you your inheritance amongst the saints. There is something, there is a portion that belongs to God's people. We are not a bunch of failures. We're not a bunch of stranded religious people. That's not who we are. The world does not know who we really are. We have an inheritance. He says, always thanking the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Say with me, I live in the light. Yeah. His people live in the light. Not just his people who live in the light. That means we've been delivered out of darkness. I pray for you today. Every darkness that have been hanging around you, it is terminated right now. Every darkness of depression, every darkness of confusion, every darkness of I don't know what to do, every darkness of I am finished, every darkness that seems to create an atmosphere of despair, that darkness is rebuked today. I come in the name of the resurrected Christ. And I rebuke such darkness. I declare that you live in the light. You dwell in the light. You fellowship in the light. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said, he has delivered. He said he enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Verse number 13, quickly. Verse number 13. He said, for he has rescued us. He has rescued. He didn't say he will rescue us. He said he has rescued us. So if anybody has lied to you that you're under a curse, that you're under a spell, that you are where you are today because, you know, the system is just overbearing, I overturned that lie with the truth. The truth that you have been rescued already. Now, he didn't say God is planning to rescue you. He said he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred. Say with me, I'm transferred. And transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. Let's bring this to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 20. So for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of words. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. Return it back to where you just switched it from. There it is. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. In the course of this month, it will be said of you that you are living by God's power. I prophesy to every one of you here this morning. I declare the power of God has come upon you. Grace has come upon you. Now listen, just before I pray for you, listen carefully. Now, in the second service, we're going to be talking about the dimension of kings. And we're going to be talking about how kings operate and how kings rule, because we've been brought into an inheritance. You understand me? But I want you to get this clearly, that while we witness for Christ, it's not about how much talk we put in. It's not about how we speak the grammar. It is not about how well we package ourselves to present ourselves, to make ourselves acceptable. No, it's in what? In power. It is in living by God's power. That simply means wherever you go, whether you are speaking politics or you are speaking Christianity, whether you are speaking arts or you're speaking science, whether you're speaking in the marketplace or in the office, does not matter where you are, in the corporate world or in the informal settlements, wherever you find yourself, the utterances of your lips will be the manifestation, the release. Why? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us what? The spirit of power. So I pray for you today, whatever look like fear in your life, whatever look like intimidation in your life, whatever look like you were going to be bound and restricted and pulled back, that thing is terminated by the power of his resurrection in the name of Jesus. Can I ask you to stand to your feet? I want to pray for you today before you go. And wherever you are, I want you to understand that the month of May is a parceled gift from heaven to you. God wants you to be a witness this month. But you're witnessing not with mere talking. You're witnessing with power. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So when they call for you to come, don't be afraid to go. Just say to yourself, when I get there, they will get answers. The devil will say to you, what will you say when you get there? He said, don't worry. When I get there. I said, when I get there. When I arrive, there will be an answer. They say she's so sick, she cannot even move. You say, wait until I get there. Now the devil is going to say to you, so when you get there, you know you're not like pastor. You cannot talk, you cannot pray like pastor. You just say, don't worry, Satan. It's not about pastor. It's about the power that is at work in me, because Jesus is alive and he lives in me. The world is about to see a fresh demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, because I'm a king, I'm a royal priest, I've been sent on an assignment. My days on earth will not be completed until my presence is being announced with a certain demonstration, a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. When you go out of here this morning, those of you who do businesses, you're going to go with confidence. And you're going to say, there's a demonstration coming to my business, because I'm functioning from a new dimension. Are you listening to me this morning? You're going out with an understanding that I've been sent to demonstrate. Listen carefully. You're not the first to demonstrate. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15, the Bible says the one who sent us was the first one to demonstrate. The Bible says he made an open show. Hey, he made an open show when he paralyzed the devil, and when he took captivity captive and nailed them to his cross. So he taught us how to do it. This is going to be an open show. When the devil wants to disgrace you, he does not disgrace you in hiding. He does not disgrace you secretly. Hello? So when God wants to demonstrate through you, he will not do it in secret. I didn't hear your amen now. Why? Jesus said, your Father who sees in secret, he said he will honor you in the open. So I'm talking about a demonstration that can be done in the open. Lift up your hands and give him praise this morning. Just thank him. I want to pray for you this morning. The ability to demonstrate the resurrection power of Jesus, I release it upon you. Wherever you have been weak, become strong. Wherever you have been down, you are lifted. Wherever you have been troubled, receive the peace of the Lord. In the month of May, you will be a witness for Jesus, demonstrating his power wherever you go. In your business, they will know that the power of God is at work there, and you are bringing many to salvation. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Somebody shout amen.
For further information on this CD and other life-changing messages, visit our website on www.thechristlifeworld.org or visit our in-house bookshop at the Christ Life Commission, corner of Opstal and Bloekomdraai Street, Kempton Park West. You can also phone us on 011-393-6016 or 074-719-9372.